Hello and welcome back to the Villa Filler podcast. I'm here as always with my good friend Dan Wiseman. Dan, we've got a completely, you know, a sole episode dedicated to transfer rumour mill. It's transfer rumour mill season. It's about time. Again, we're probably a little bit behind, but we wanted to catch you guys up on these rumours nevertheless, because I think it's fair to say that these two players in particular have been quite divisive rumours within the Villa sort of community, and I'm hoping at least that you and I can be the voice of reason here, mate, because I have, you know, my gut is telling me instinctively that you certainly don't agree with a lot of the sort of hysteria maybe about both of these deals really, mate, to be honest. But before we get into that, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm very well indeed. Yes, second dedicated rumour mill of the window. I think Frimpong was a standalone pong, but yeah, I thought we'd have a bit more by this by now, but slowly but surely it feels like rumours are starting to creep out. I'm seeing some more kind of stray ones, but these are kind of two which we've seen kind of throughout the window. I'm also kind of ramped up in the last couple of days, but then there's a couple of others that have kind of been trickling on, and this is the second or third time I've seen a link, so I've decided to dive into a couple more today. But yeah, I'm good, man. I'm very well. I'm missing kind of the normal build-up to a fixture and everything like that, but I'm happy the guys are getting a rest. Thought we'd start out with a shout out for Bertrand Traore.
Absolutely.
Before we dive into the transfers, big clutch penalty to give Burkina Faso their first win of the AFCON group stages. So big shout out to you, Bertie. Like 90th minute spot kick in a competition like that, not easily done. So yeah, shout out to you. Yeah, but it's good that the rumour mill is in season, mate, because it's meaning that we can keep creating content.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And you know, as we mentioned on the last podcast, we're hoping that this sort of little week's break not only will give the players the chance to rest, but also will give the likes of Unai and Monchi the time to go and get things done. Depending on when you're seeing this, we've potentially signed a right back who we spoke about in a previous transfer rumour, Kostas Jelkovic from Red Star Belgrade. If you want to know more about him, there is a transfer rumour episode on the channel about him. You will have to click on to the match reaction from our last game slash the Emil Smith Rowe one to see us talk about that. So if you haven't checked out our thoughts on the 0-0 draw to Everton and Emil Smith Rowe, then this is your chance. So go and do that, because that is a very good and long Villa filler, which not many of you have seen. So hopefully the clickbait from this will push you guys towards the other one as well, because you guys clearly weren't drinking that ESR juice. But nevertheless, mate, we've got players to talk about. Mario Hermoso of Atletico Madrid. This, you know, we said with the Kostas Jelkovic, this has got Monchi Scream written all over it. This, however, has Unai Emery written all over it, mate, doesn't it? Spanish left-footed centre-half of Atletico Madrid, approaching a decade at the club, I believe, under the tutelage of Diego Simeone, one of, if not the best defensive managers out there. Dan, you and I are both Real Madrid fans, but I think there is a you know, deep admiration that I know you share for somebody like Simeone and what he's done at Atletico Madrid. Mm-hmm. I feel like it goes under the radar quite a lot. He's been at the club for ages, absolutely ages. And I think it's fair to say he's constantly punched above his and Atleti's weight, given the spending power of your Barcelonas and your Real Madrids that they've... I say spending power, they don't really have that anymore, but they have previously spent frivolously. And Atletico Madrid, you know, this isn't like a case of, you know, get your tiny violins out for little Atletico Madrid. They certainly get a much larger share of that La Liga broadcasting revenue than a lot of the other clubs in the division do get. But nevertheless, mate, the success that this club has had under Simeone, I mean, in a different era, you're talking about Atleti potentially having 3 or 4 league titles, aren't we? Mm-hmm. So I find this link very interesting with the context of how, one, Atletico Madrid play under Diego Simeone, and two, that this is, and I think this is where the sort of uproar has come from, this is another left-footed centre-half that Aston Villa appear to be targeting. What are your thoughts on this one, mate? Because, I mean, as I alluded to earlier, I have a feeling that you're going to be quite keen on this, as I am too. But I think there's, like, you sort of have to scratch below the surface a little bit to really understand why this is a player that we should be targeting and why we are targeting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, he's a fantastic, fantastic player just entering his prime. So, you know, as you rightly say, he's had joined Atletico back in, I think it was 2019 from Espanyol, where he really kind of burst onto the scene after a loan at Valladolid. He was actually at Real Madrid beforehand, which is quite interesting. Came through the C and B sides at Real Madrid before going out on loan and then signing permanently with Belo Castellón club, Espanyol. But it's since that move to Atletico Madrid, it was a big move. It was, you know, as part of 30 million euros all the way back in 2019. And he signed a deal. And it looks like we're starting to come to the end of Mario Hermoso's time in Athletic Colors. And it's been a topsy-turvy ride. It has been up and downs. It hasn't always been easy for Hermoso. Garrett time in the first team hasn't necessarily always been guaranteed. But for the most part, he has become a mainstay in recent seasons for Atletico and for Simeone. He's kind of, as I say, just 28. He's about to enter his prime. He's racked up 150 appearances for Atletico Madrid. And, you know, we all know this. You know, you don't go and make 150 appearances for a Diego Simeone side unless you're pretty good, especially as a centre-half, pretty good at defending. It's a kind of rubber stamp. It's a hallmark of, you know, if you buy a centre-back that's played for a long time under that manager, you can pretty much guarantee you're getting quality given the kind of Catenaccio style that you see Simeone playing so much. And his kind of progress has meant that he's reached a stage now where, as I say, he's kind of entering his peak. You know, he's 28, heading into 30. So for a centre-half, this is where you really expect them to hit the lofty heights of their career. But his deal runs out in the summer. And the longer that this goes on, it's maybe a kind of entering a saga kind of stage now where it's been going on for a long, long time. The contract talks between Atletico and Hermoso, it seems. We're here, 17th of January, halfway through the window now. Nothing has yet been agreed. And whenever a player of this quality is kind of stalling, it seems, on contract talks, you're always going to end up with other clubs sniffing. Apparently Barcelona are interested as well. And so this kind of recruitment likes this picking up players in the very, very much suits the financial difficulties that Barcelona are facing at the moment. But that's where Villa come in. We have joined the race. And what makes this particularly interesting is that Unai Emery and Monchi in particular have really been wanting to work with Hermoso for some time. Apparently twice whilst Monchi was at Sevilla, he tried to sign or thought about signing or kind of tested the waters with Mario Hermoso, was rebuffed. Those deals never quite ended up happening. And so he's very keen this time around to bring Hermoso to Villa Park. And it's interesting that we're kind of looking to address this position, but Tyrone is the big word here, isn't it? Because obviously a left-sided centre-half, Clement Longley is only on loan. There's definitely a spot there that we need to fill. But when Tyrone is back and kind of what level he comes back at kind of dictates whether this deal makes sense.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it, mate? And I can understand because, you know, this is a podcast that absolutely adores Tyrone Mings and we're hoping that when he's fit, he can obviously make his way back into the side. But the reality of the situation that Tyrone's in is, you know, given his age and given the fact that this is what his second serious knee-related injury during his career, we don't know if Tyrone will come back as good as he was just, you know, at the time of the injury. Especially given the age as well. And that's not to say he's old, but he certainly isn't getting any younger. And I think mentally, Tyrone will probably be better than ever. I don't think there's any doubt in that. I think, you know, the time he's sort of taken to sort of really, you know, put himself first will prove to be really important to his comeback. But, you know, we can't really afford to sort of take that risk can we? Like that, it's not like we can throw him back in, and as we say, have, you know, the Tyrone Mings pre-injury straight away. It just doesn't really work like that. And I think what is interesting about this as well, and, you know, something that we kind of mentioned recently in a recent podcast, mate, is that the financial situations that a lot of clubs are now finding themselves in, it feels like every day there's a new club that's getting potentially charged with financial fair play breaches. This is where you have to box clever with how you do some of your deals, right? And to sign somebody with the experience that you and I have both just listed, mate, for no fee whatsoever, you know, just your signing on fee, just your wages, which again, you would imagine probably are inflated to a certain degree. It feels like a no-brainer, really, mate, especially as we don't really know. I mean, we know Unai Emery is a huge fan of Clement Longley, and the club definitely doesn't want to let him go, at least in the January window. You know, we don't know whether that's that, you know, does that loan become a permanent in the summer? Is this a Longley replacement? Is this, you know, it brings up so many questions. And, you know, it was just off air. We were sort of talking, I was talking about centre halves, and I was looking at sort of comparing the metrics. And I mentioned I didn't include Callum Chambers or Courtney Hawes. These are also two of the players that are still on the books. So it's not necessarily a Tyrone Mings replacement or a Clement Longley replacement. You know, it's a Callum Chambers replacement or it's a Courtney Hawes replacement. I think that's the way you have to look at it, because Callum Chambers, Courtney Hawes as well, both will be on a fair bit of money that we probably are going to want to sort of get off the books as well, regardless of what the fee that it is you bring in for those guys. So I feel like that's kind of how we have to look at it. And, you know, we've kind of maintained the whole time, mate, like there's no point in signing players that are worse than the ones you've already got. We're straight away, as I said, Hermoso comes in and he's already better than two guys. Tyrone Mings, we don't know what level he's going to come back at. So, you know, same goes for him. Is he as good as Pau Torres or Clement Longley? That's probably up for debate. But I think what it would do is provide an insane amount of depth, especially in that left centre-half department, mate, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you're, without a doubt, without a doubt. I have been really impressed with Clement Longley, but I think ideally he'd like to perhaps play a little bit more league football than maybe he's played. You know, there were kind of early rumours as we were going through December that someone like AC Milan were looking to take Clement Longley on a permanent deal. And that's ultimately what could decide Clement Longley's future, is that if someone were to come along hypothetically in January and offer Barcelona money for a straight up transfer for Clement Longley, as I've already said on this podcast, given their kind of financial difficulties, Barca would have him on the plane back to Catalonia like that, because they need that income. And so it's potentially a bit of kind of contingency planning in that regard. The one thing that, and I think we mentioned this at the time, mate, with Tyrone's injury, is that it kind of by default sorted out the pecking order with Pau and Tyrone. And it meant that this was something that we were kind of umming and ahhing about the Torres signing, and was the big kind of, not, I don't want to say a cloud hanging over the deal, but definitely a big question mark was, okay, but what does this mean for Tyrone Mings, who had, let's not forget, since Unai came in, been absolutely fantastic for Villa. He was absolutely amazing through the second half of the season. And he kind of felt that he'd done nothing to justify being dropped, but then obviously he ended up getting this injury, and it's become Torres and Carlos by default. And so it'd be interesting to kind of see if you add someone like Hermoso into that, who, as I say, has developed into a mainstay at Atletico Madrid. It seems that wages would be quite high, as you rightly say, mate. If he's not impressed by what Atletico Madrid have put on the table, you can imagine that what he would currently be envisioning is a fair old whack. And it's probably something that reflects his status now as one of the first names on that team sheet, particularly in the defence. And so it seems kind of counterintuitive to go through all of that to go and accept potentially being in the rotation at Aston Villa. But this is, as you rightly say, mate, as you rightly say, what we kind of have to figure out, and maybe you have to be a bit more fluid back there. I think that's definitely something that Unai's done very well is that we change centre-backs quite frequently, and it's never really to the detriment of the team. And so we seem to have mastered that. But yeah, I mean, on the grounds that maybe Clement Longley won't be here next season, as you rightly say, mate, that's kind of still up in the air. And with kind of question mark hanging over Tyrone Mings and his recovery, when that comes back and when he's back, what does that look like? It's interesting that we're kind of starting to test the water. And these kind of rumours don't mean that we're in for Hermoso, that we've offered a contract. But as you say, if the club did have any doubts over Tyrone, if the club did have any doubts over whether they wanted to sign Clement Longley on a permanent deal, then, and as you say, when you're losing Callum Chambers, when you imagine Courtney Horsell will be off in the summer, it's in that context that a free signing of Mario Hermoso makes total sense.
Absolutely. And I've got some metrics up here that I just wanted to read to both you and the listeners and viewers, Dan. So I've sort of compared Longley to Konta, Torres, Carlos, Hermoso, Mings. We've got all of, you know, Villa's good centre halves and Hermoso. And if you look at the pass completion rate, I think this will surprise a lot of people, actually. The leader in that stat, out of all those players that I've just listed, is actually Clement Longley with an 89.1% pass completion rate. Ezri Konta, close second, 86.6%. We are talking very minute here in the sort of the numbers and the details. Al Torres with an 84.9% completion rate. Diego Carlos with the exact same 84.9% pass completion rate. This is per 90, by the way. Mario Hermoso actually comes in with an 83.2% pass completion rate. And Tyrone Mings is actually at the bottom of that pile with a 79.9% pass completion rate. Again, that is career average. And I think it's important to caveat that as well with, if you break down the stats even further, how Torres has attempted about 800 more long passes than somebody like Clement Longley. So that will obviously skew accuracy and completion rate and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that was quite interesting, but he's clearly not going to be... This isn't all to say he's bad with the ball at his feet at all. Clearly very capable of doing that. But I think, you know, the sort of the numbers that really stood out for me when I was sort of doing the bit of research that I did is, you know, comparing him to all of our centre-halves again, who makes the most ball recoveries per 90? Mario Hermoso is actually making 5.72 recoveries per 90, which again is very close and very similar to a lot of our players. Tyrone Mings with 5.69, Diego Carlos with 5.46, Al Torres with 5.44, Clement Longley with 5.26, and Ezri Konta with 4.44. But, you know, he's leading in that stat. And I think when you look at tackles won as well, per 90s at 0.77, which is, you know, sort of middling. Interceptions, though, again, this is sort of where he really shines through. Again, he leads in that stat. He's averaging 1.13 interceptions per 90. I think he offers something a little bit different. And I think when we're looking at the profile of defenders specifically that we are looking to recruit, I think it's that sort of out of possession, how you defend when you play such a high line. I think these are the kind of stats that we're sort of looking at, really, aren't we, mate? And again, in terms of those recoveries and tackles won and all that, that's really important because, you know, we like to have the ball, we like to dominate. But as that big Calvert-Lewin chance sort of demonstrated from that Everton game the other day, there are going to be instances where teams actually do beat our high line, and it's going to be important that our defenders have the pace and are able to recover the ball as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And that is an area where I do see Hermoso thriving.
Yeah, he's rapid. He is rapid. The one thing that I can say, whether he's better than the centre-backs there with the club is one thing or not, but he's definitely faster than all of them, 100%. And so, yeah, those recovery challenges, those interceptions, those like blocked shots would be really, really significant. And I think that's definitely something which he brings, is that in a system with a high line, having someone that's as fleet-footed as Mario Hermoso is no bad thing.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. So I think it's safe to say this is a player that we can get behind. This is a transfer rumour that we can get behind. And it'll be interesting to see how this one develops over the course of the summer, really, because let's face it, he's going to have Saudi offers. He's going to have other offers within Spain that could potentially tempt him. So it'll be interesting to see the pull of Unai Emery. I think, you know, he'll probably take a look at that squad. And I think we'll start to see that there's going to be, and, you know, maybe this is a sort of lazy thing to say, but I think we are going to attract a whole bunch of Spanish players because, you know, people domestically within Spain, within La Liga, the Segunda, everywhere else, knows how much of a good manager Unai Emery is. And I think for a player like Mario Hermoso, it would certainly take us a lot less sort of negotiation and convincing to get them to come and sign for us compared to players from other leagues, other clubs, etc. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that one goes, mate. But again, kind of on the flip side, we've got, I say flip side, he's not actually that much older. But Felipe Anderson is a player who was linked probably about a week ago. Again, this would be another sort of free agency signing, mate, wouldn't it, with his deal coming up at Lazio at the end of the season. This is, I think, a lot of people would be like, why was it West Ham? Wasn't particularly great. I don't necessarily disagree with that sentiment. I can't remember if I told you this. When I worked at Man City, I actually served his family in one of the boxes.
Oh, wow.
And they were very nice and they were very generous and tipped me. And yeah, they were great. Doesn't speak to how good he is on the football pitch, though. But they were a very nice family. And he certainly niced them up in a box, that's for sure. But this is an interesting one because he kind of fits into that genre of players that kind of like don't necessarily make the impact that a lot of fans perhaps expected in the Premier League and sort of go away, you know, mainly to Serie A. He's very Serie A, isn't he? And he's kind of had he's been able to revive his career a little bit more in the sort of twilight stages, mate. And, you know, I know a couple of Lazio fans. They worship this guy. They think this guy's absolutely great. I don't really know where I sit on this one, mate, if I'm being completely honest. What are you saying?
He's 30. We'll get the ball rolling there. So he is 30. But for Lazio, there are no doubts in the numbers. And what is interesting is I've looked back at his West Ham numbers and they're not awful. In fact, they're actually pretty similar to the numbers that he's put up in the two spells he's had at Lazio. So for West Ham, he got 12 goals and 13 assists. So 25 goal contributions in 73 games. So you're getting a goal contribution just under one in every three. Which is that's not bad,
definitely,
by any stretch of the imagination for a winger. And then at Lazio, 55 goal contributions and 63 assists in 303 games. So again, just over a goal and assist in three. It's really not too much to shake a stick at. He's been, by and large, very good in Europe as well. 14 goal contributions in 33 games. And so, yeah, you can see that by and large, no matter who he plays for, no matter where he kind of plays, what competition, you're going to get goals and assists and a relatively regular churn. And so it's really hard to argue with the numbers. There's only one player in Serie A who has more assists than him this season, and it's the narrator is Marcus Thuram. He's been absolutely sensational for Inter, so we won't hold that against Anderson. His six assists so far. Thuram has seven, and then Dybala and Mkhitaryan are tied with him in six as well. So he's in pretty esteemed company there for a Lazio side that, by and large, haven't really been great at points this season. You know, they're down in sixth in the league. So it's an interesting one because, yes, I agree. I don't remember being totally enamoured during this time in the Premier League. But as I rightly say, I think the numbers actually stack up pretty similarly to Lazio, which is where I think everyone would say that he's been pretty successful by and large. So yeah, it's an interesting one, as you say, up on a free in the summer. Apparently Juve are kind of looking around that. Juve have apparently put him €4 million with signing bonus on the line. Lazio put a three-year deal worth €3.5 million. So that's the kind of ballpark you're looking at for wages. So it's not going to come cheap. But yeah, it's one that doesn't. I don't think it's going to jump out. I don't think too many people are going to be clamoring for. But it's hard to argue with those numbers.
Yeah, I think like it comes at relatively low risk as well. Like, I think the difficulty is, and you know, maybe this comes from his end, when you are 30 years old and your contract is expiring, you are probably going to look for something that offers a fair bit of security financially, you know, lengthwise as well. He'll probably be looking for at least a 4-year deal wherever he goes, taking him to 34, and then he can probably assess where he's at in terms of, you know, if he wants to move to another club. We've seen a lot of players actually go back to Brazil, which is quite interesting, really. It's a, you know, that's a league that I believe is also called the Serie A, which is having a bit of a revival in terms of sort of older players wanting to go back and play in their homeland rather than, you know, taking the Saudi money or the MLS money or whatever that might be. So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, I say that a 2-year deal is probably something you'd probably look at and think, yeah, do you know what? That's pretty low risk. As you rightly said, mate, European experience. And ultimately, like, I feel like we're not really in a position to sort of criticize or critique any of Unai Emery's transfer dealings just yet. I think, you know, they've all pretty much been nailed on in their own way. I think, you know, you could probably find negatives to players like John Duran, but, you know, you'll certainly find people, and us included, mate, that would argue the positives and the upsides that definitely are there with that deal as well. So it's just kind of like, you know, just sort of let Unai cook.
Yeah, you've got to trust him, mate. You've got to trust him. This guy's done enough. I think with Monchi at his side, who are we to say no to these deals? These guys, you know, Monchi is renowned for being an expert in these things. So you're absolutely right. And these guys have definitely earned our faith when it comes to transfers.
Absolutely. So guys, let us know your thoughts in the comment section down below. We'd love to know. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the channel. And if you listen on Apple or Spotify, make sure you follow, download, share with a friend, all that. Leave a review. It helps us more than you guys could know. So yeah, like, comment, subscribe, and up the ladder.